Good morning, everyone. Doesn't sound like I'm on. Let's see. Well, I thought I'd show you a few serious slides. Perseverance, impossible, only means that you haven't found the solution yet. Looks like that guy found the solution. Perseverance, keep trying. You can do it. Here's my favorite one. Never give up. Oh, yeah, sometimes we just have to laugh, don't we? Right? All right. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for laughter. And for your people, I know it's been a few tough months for us, for all various reasons. And so, Lord, as we come to your word, may we on bended knee come into your presence and say, Lord, we need you. And we need your strength and your help to make the next step and the next step. We need the filling of your spirit. So help us, Lord, open our eyes to your word and learn a little bit more on why we should persevere. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking about perseverance for a while now, and I'm just kind of trying to bring things together a little bit. And so last week, if you weren't here, and we apologize, our YouTube did not get out, so it wasn't recorded, but the audio is available. So if you weren't here, you can still listen to it. But anyway, this is the points of the last week's message. Perseverance is the main way that we resist the devil. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, resist him, stand firm. Secondly, perseverance is necessary for growing our character, which is just a gigantic topic. I felt like I just, touched the surface. But James 1, 4, says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lack nothing. In fact, James says, consider it all joy when you face trials. That's just unnatural for us, right? Unnatural to say, Lord, I count it all joy because I count this opportunity, this suffering can produce character in me. We just don't do that kind of thing, do we? But that's what James counsels us to do. Thirdly, persevere for the salvation and spiritual growth of others. And so we're talking about people's example, and of course Jesus' own example of suffering and the cross, who for the joy set before him, he endured all that pain and suffering, and he saved us and brought us into a right relationship with God for all those who trust him. And then fourthly, perseverance is the only way to complete everything that God has asked for us. It seems obvious, but when you think about it, it's true, because a lot of people simply give up. It's the only way. We need to persevere. The race marked out for us. So today I want to cover three more reasons why we need to persevere. And then the following Sunday, I'm going to start talk about the how-to, which is obviously crucial, okay? So this is number five, but I'll just call it number one for today. When you persevere, it inspires others. When you persevere, you are a living example to people around you. And so really, this was the message of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So consider those who went before us. And of course, consider most of all Jesus Christ. I mean, what if we didn't have the example of these people? Noah, Enoch, Abraham, Moses, and of course, Jesus himself. I mean, it would be demoralizing and disheartening if we had no examples to follow. But we do. We have this cloud of witnesses. We have people who did not give up. None of them were perfect, of course, except for Jesus. But they persevered. We have these cloud of witnesses so that we can emulate them. God wants us to consider their witness. As we approach Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we are reminded of that day when Jesus hung on that cross and was able to say, "It is finished." There it is. It is finished. What God has called Jesus to do, he accomplished. He was faithful. He persevered. And it inspires us to do the same, whatever God has called you to do. So the question is, we too must be those godly examples to those around us. And so for those of us who are parents, you are to be godly examples to your children in terms of perseverance. What kind of model are you setting out for them? Are you quitting way too often? Your kids watch all of it. Are you an example to your own church family? Are you faithful? Does your life exemplify perseverance in Christ that inspires the faith of your children, of your friends, of your family, of your church? Are you a model, in other words? Are you an example for them to follow? A couple weeks ago, I read a book entitled Unwritten. And it's an autobiography by John and Lorraine Bargan. And I first met John and Lorraine back in Medicine Hat when I served at the Free Church there. And they were in the ministry of just building into Christian leaders. And when we met at the coffee shop with a group of us, I was so impressed by this couple. They had this sense of authenticity and passion for the Lord. And that was over 15, 16, 17 years ago. And then I met them again this past little over a year ago, January, when we went to Steinbach for our church renewal retreat. And I saw them in the foyer. They approached me, and they even said my name. I'm not sure if they were reading my name tag or if they remembered my name. But anyway, they remember encountering me in Medicine Hat. And once again, they had this friendly spirit about them. They were interested in me and my life and how I was doing. But I had no idea that this couple and their two boys went through a serious tragedy in 1981. And so this book is basically their autobiography, their story of what happened. So let me just give you a brief synopsis of why this book inspired me so much. So in 1981... they had a devastating car accident. They are actually from this area originally. And so some people who've been here for a while might know the Bargans. But they were driving on New Year's Eve down to Edmonton. And so we know the road. Probably back in those days, it was just a single lane going past White Court. And there a driver came toward them and turned out to be a drunk driver. And the trailer swung around and wiped their car right off the road. And John and Lorraine and their two boys, who were, I think, 6 and 10 at the time, were all seriously injured. Lorraine was sent through the windshield of the vehicle, and she had to go to the White Court Hospital, had 81 stitches to repair the damage to her face. Amazing that she walked out of the hospital, probably too early, she thinks, within a week. And she was forced into the role of keeping her shattered family together, because as far as her husband and two boys, their situation was far, far worse. Doctors did not think John would even survive. His injuries were so bad. He spent months and months in the hospital in Edmonton with multiple injuries to his face and bodily injuries all over the place. He could not talk for months. He could not walk for months. His mouth was just completely wired shut. The 6-year-old was Had all kinds of injuries, but his legs were just broken in all kinds of places. Multiple fractures all over his legs. But by far the worst was their older son, Byron. And he was 10 years old. He sustained serious bodily injuries, but the most serious was brain damage. And so can you imagine? Everyone is just devastated by this crash. And it's almost like you can't even pick and choose, you know, who to sympathize with the most. But of course, this 10-year-old with brain injury really stands out for a mom and dad. Today, their son, Byron, this 10-year-old, is around 50 years old. And John and Lorraine have always chosen to care for him. They never sent him away. And they take care of his daily needs, his very basic needs, just, you know, human functions, getting up in the morning, getting dressed and helping him. And so you can appreciate, with their own injuries that they sustained, the deep waters that they had to go through caring for their sons, especially their son, Byron. But this couple never lost their love for Jesus. They had a love for Jesus before this crash, but they never lost their love for Jesus. And those who know them are inspired by their hope in Christ, their joy, and their enthusiasm for the Lord and for his ministry. In all that they face, and they continue to face, because, you know, I learned that, you know, John, for example, still must have a surgery now and again because his body was just all messed up. But they are an encouragement to others. So this is why when I heard this story after I met them, I was so inspired. I said, who are these people? They care about people like me in leadership. And I read their story, I go, this is amazing. And so today, they work with Church Renewal. And of course, that's why they were at the conference in Steinbach. And I hear about them and hear from them from emails once in a while. And they are inspiring Christian leaders. They will not give up their love and passion for Jesus. They will not give up the needs of the church and how God has called all of us to serve him in the church. And so they are the kind of people who exemplify grace under pressure. They will not lash out. They will not grow bitter. They've been through troubled waters for sure, and they felt deeply those pains, of course, right? Because you kind of all want to scream at someone. They share that deeply in their book. They don't hold back anything. And yet, they are people who exemplify grace under pressure. Proverbs 10:25 says, when the storms of life come, and they do come, folks, the wicked are whirled away, but the godly have a lasting foundation. Isn't that great? And of course, as we read our New Testament, that lasting foundation is Jesus Christ. And John and Lorraine are examples of those who held on to this foundation. They are on a firm foundation. It doesn't matter what happens to them. They're examples of people who keep on holding on. These have been difficult times for us as a church family, but for the church as a whole, for the nation, for the world. It's like a test. Satan's going to use it for his purposes to destroy, but God will use it, hopefully, to build up the church. How are you responding is the question, right? What kind of people are you? How is your character? How is your perseverance? Are you an example for others who inspire others around you? So may God help us to be the right kind of people under great pressure. Second reason today, perseverance is how we endure to the end and are saved. Now, of course, in the Old Testament, the classic story is the story of Job, isn't it? Job was known as a blameless man, full of integrity, who feared God, and it says he stayed from evil. But Satan one day charged and said to God, you know, the only reason why Job is faithful to you is because you've given him so much. You've blessed him abundantly. Job was, in fact, one of the wealthiest people, in fact, the wealthiest person in his area where he lived. But Satan asserted that, look, God, if you take all the blessings away from him, he will reject you. Something like that. Job would not maintain his integrity if you take away the blessings that you have given to him. And so the Lord gave Satan permission to assault Job with a barrage of disasters, calculating to wrest Job's integrity and loyalty to the Lord. And so the disasters came one after another, one wave after another. First of all, Job lost all of his possessions. And tragically, he lost his 10 children. Devastating. He loses 10 sons, 3 daughters. One swoop, they're gone. So as you can imagine, words cannot express that kind of devastating loss. Yet it says, Job remained steadfast. Job stood up. He tore his robe in grief, which is only natural, right? And then he shaved his head and fell to the ground in worship. He said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be taken when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin by blaming God. Can you imagine? He continues to worship the Lord and praises his name. Well, the Lord gave these things to me. He takes them away. May the Lord's name be praised. Amazing perseverance. On his return to the courts of heaven, God asked Satan if he noticed that Job had maintained his integrity. And Satan responded, skin for skin. A man will give up everything he has to save his life, but reach out and take away his own health. Surely he will curse you to your face. So this is wave number 2 coming. Once again, God allowed Satan to afflict Job, this time personally attacking his own body, short of taking his own life. Job was then afflicted with all kinds of sores on his body. And Job, as you see in the picture there, scraped his skin with broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. And at this point, Job's wife broke. And his wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. But Job maintained his integrity. Job said to his wife, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Amazing. Job's faith in God is tested and found to be genuine. But on the negative example is Job's wife, who leave God when the blessings are removed. She couldn't handle it. Trials and suffering expose the genuineness of our faith. Did you know that? They really do. They show us what we're really made of. It shows that some only follow God for his blessings, not for who God is. They love the blessings, but not the blesser. They love the creation, but not the creator. 1 Peter 6, 1, 6 to 7. Calvin read this earlier. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. There it is. And may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. What a challenge to us. You know, the Christian life is like a narrow road which leads to life. Not everyone who starts will finish. It is not those who start out the Christian life that are saved, but those who endure to the end that are saved. So let me show you a few passages that speak of this. Jesus said, "Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and give them have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." Jesus is speaking very bluntly and forthrightly of the cost of following Jesus. Another passage, also Jesus' words. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy your new name and drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" So we're not talking about sinless perfection. Not at all. All the examples, except for Jesus, that I've given you in the last couple months, Moses and Abraham, they all made serious mistakes. But they got up and soldiered on. What perseverance means here is that no matter how often you fail, no matter what you face in your life, you don't give up on following Jesus and doing his will. You never give up. So Proverbs 24:16 says this, For through, though a righteous man fall seven times, he rises again, but the wicked are brought down by calamity. I like that verse. It's a realistic verse, right? I don't know about you, but I know I've failed. But God urges me to get up, Dan. Get up, get on your knees, keep praying, keep leaning in, keep trusting me, keep loving people. And we all fail sometimes, but the main thing is, are you getting up again? Are you staying down? Have you given up? Has your faith gone sour? Rise up again. The person with integrity and faith may fall down, but he or she doesn't stay down there. They get back up. And so this is the example that I read in the book unwritten by John and Lorraine Bargan, and they tell you the reality of how they felt sometimes. They felt this devastating sting and even asked the question to each other, "Do you trust him anymore?" That's serious, serious pain. And yet they said to themselves, "Yes, we do. We must and we shall." And they kept on going. They were set down so many times, but they got up again. You know, maybe some of them are, you know, it seems odd. I mean, the accident themselves is serious, but they spoke of times where people would actually go to the hospital and scorn them, just like Job's friends. They would say to them, to John, "You're going to die." Almost like with a mean spirit. Can you believe that? Another person came and visited Lorraine in the hospital, and she was visiting her boys. And a lady said, "I want to talk to you." And she came and says, "I think I know the reason why this has all happened to you." And she says, "It's because you wear earrings." Can you believe that? And it just... unbelievable insensitivity of, this is the church we're talking. So it's a different kind of persecution, put it that way. There's the accident and then this human, you know, flogging. Just incredible emotional torture. And so they had to put up with all these kinds of things, right? And it sounds like the story of Job, remember? His friends accusing him. You know, John and Lorraine don't pretend to be perfect. That's not the point. But then they know the lie from the truth, of course. You know, they kept following him even though the hurt was so great. But the righteous person, she pours out their heart before God in that deep, deep pain and calls out to him, even in those moments. I mean, you could grow so bitter inside, couldn't you? But the Lord asks us to pray for your enemies and to love them. That's what they chose to do. They never left the faith because of evil or because of injustice. This is perseverance, friends. We are called to persevere in faith in Christ to the very end. Our last reason why we should persevere is that our eternal rewards are based on persevering. Now, here's a topic we don't talk about very often. We don't talk about eternal rewards. Hebrews 10:26 says this, "Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will, then you will receive all that he has promised." 2 Timothy 4:7-8. "I have fought the good fight," this is Paul. "I have finished the race. I have remained faithful, and now the prize awaits for me, the crown of righteousness." Well, there it is. "Which is the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day of his return. And this prize is not just for me, but for all those who eagerly look forward to his appearing." It's not like the Olympics where there's only 3 medals up for grabs. Paul says, it's not just for me, it's for all of you guys if you keep on going. You know, both the author of Hebrews and Paul speak about a reward that awaits for those who persevere, to those who have kept the faith. Now, I know some people struggle with being motivated by rewards, but the Bible teaches us that every believer will face what the Bible calls the judgment seat of Jesus Christ when Jesus returns. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so each of us must receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." The judgment seat of Christ is only for believers. It's a judgment that determines what is due us. The Lord is determining what kind of rewards and honor he is going to give to us based on the way we lived in Christ while on earth. So this is not about, you know, merit or earning. This is about your faith in Christ. Did you trust him? And the rewards include honor of great responsibilities in heaven. I know we have a hard time just kind of fathoming heaven here, but it's a lot more than floating in clouds. In fact, we don't float on clouds. There's responsibilities. There's great honors given to God's people. And so they will be given out. Some people have greater responsibilities and honor. And Jesus said in Matthew 25:21, his master replied, "Well done, and good and faithful servant." This is the servant that invested well. "You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." So Jesus is talking about the future. Our God is a wonderfully generous God who loves to give to his faithful children, to those who love him and honor him and are faithful to the very end. God is looking at a persevering heart, a quality of heart that keeps on going to the very end. You know, when we talk about perseverance, we assume that we must persevere in the face of opposition, trials, and tribulations. James 1:12 says, "God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation." Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So that is why James said earlier, I talked about, when the day of trouble comes, consider an opportunity for joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So it's this great opportunity, James is saying, for you to grow in your character and grow in more perseverance. Those who remain steadfast and faithful, who maintain their authenticity and character in the face of trials, they will be the ones who are rewarded with the crown of life. You know, when it talks about rewards, we're not talking about the kind of rewards that we receive on this side of heaven. So normally when we talk about, you know, rewards, you know, we talk about medals that are hung around our neck, plaques, and maybe even have a, you know, statue erected in your name in front of a building, or maybe you have a building that has your name on it, you know. It's all about honor, you know, given to you by human beings or human institutions or schools, etc. And there's a place for this kind of honor on earth. There is, right? There's nothing wrong with this type of honor because you want to give honor to those who have contributed to society. But the sinful flesh in us wants human recognition. And sometimes we selfishly want people to see how smart we are, or see how clever we are, or see how successful we are, and how attractive we are. And these are what Jesus calls treasures on earth. Jesus says, don't invest in those kind of things, because they don't last. They just end up burnt up in the judgment seat of Christ. If it's all about you, then they just get burnt up. Par Borthwick said, we need to develop the ability to persevere even when the rewards are few and the accolades none. He's talking about life on earth here. Learn to live, to persevere, even when you don't get a single reward here on earth. You may not receive one single honor on earth, but if you persevere for Christ and in Christ, holding on to your integrity in suffering and rejection because of your faith in Christ, a great crown awaits you, and that is an eternal crown. That is the one that matters. Not the medals around our neck or the honors on the building. That all is going to disappear. 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, when Christ returns, he will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. Did you hear that? I mean, you can fake it all the way to eternity. But at that time when Jesus returned, he'll just expose your heart. And to just expose what is there. At that time, each one will receive their praise from God. So it's not a condemnation, right? Judgment seat. It's God is looking for all the reasons why he wants to give you honor. Isn't that awesome? God is a generous God. He wants to reward you. But he's looking for those pure motives. So here Paul speaks more specifically of how God not only looks at our good deeds are awesome, but those good deeds must be accompanied with a pure heart. The point is, if we persevere with that pure heart, living our life for Christ and in Christ, not for ourselves, we will be honored by God himself. So be very careful in your faith, that your life is not about wanting attention for yourself, wanting honor for yourself, because that is just the flesh that we battle with. But Christ wants to help us to battle through these things. Everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ and who does not reject Jesus will be in heaven. But not everyone, every believer in heaven, will be honored in the same way. There will be differences, for sure. In Revelation, we see an interesting passage. God affirms the church in Smyrna. And he says this, "I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich." So here's a church that has next to nothing. Right? Probably no building. Probably living in house churches. Probably on the run. They got no money. They're being persecuted. But he says to them, "Do you know that you're actually rich?" What's that Scotiabank commercial? "You're richer than you think." "I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to face. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." So like I said, these people are desperately poor, materially poor, facing slander, persecution, but then Jesus calls them rich. Why? Well, the answer lies in the promise. "I will give you the crown of life." He says, please don't forget it. On the other side of death, you are extremely wealthy. And so he exhorts them, please be faithful to the other end. Please know that you are wealthy in my name. Persevere, remain steadfast. Keep your eyes on me, the author and finisher of your faith. You know, the easiest way to deal with challenging difficulties in serving Christ is actually to quit. It's the shortcut. And it's easy. Walk away from your faith, then they will stop troubling you. It's the easiest way. Well, get revenge. That's another easy way. To withdraw from fellowship, from fellow believers. That's another easy way. Because you're cutting the pain instead of dealing with it. It actually doesn't cut the pain, by the way. You know that. Compromise your moral standards. Then you'll just kind of fit in. But these responses are all assuming that escaping suffering and trials are more valuable than your faith in Jesus, more valuable than Jesus himself, more valuable than gaining the crown of life. If that's happened to us, we've lost perspective. There's a great story about Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He's a Russian who became a Christian, a famous writer who spent years in the Siberian prison, in the Gulag, I think it was. And at one point, he was just so completely discouraged, and you can appreciate it, because the Gulag is not a fun place to be. You know, they don't have TVs and internet in jail there. And so he was so discouraged, he just wanted to give up and die. And so he made out a plan. His plan was, you know what, I'm just going to stop working out in the field. This was, you know, their labor camp. And I'm going to lean on my shovel. And I'm going to stop, and the guards, you know, what they're going to do, they're just going to beat me up. They'll beat me until I die, so that's what I want. And so he probably told one of his friends, a fellow prisoner, "Hey, this is the way I feel, man. This is what I'm going to do." So he stopped working. Then a fellow prisoner, he reached over his shovel, and he quickly drew in the ground with his finger a cross at Alexander's feet. Cross in the dirt. And then he erased it really quickly so the guards wouldn't see. Solzhenitsyn later told his friend, of course, in his own testimony, that his entire being was energized when his friend drew that cross on the ground as a reminder of the hope and courage that we have in Christ. He needed that. And I think you and I need that, don't we? He found the strength to continue because his fellow believer cared enough to remind him of the hope we have in Christ. And so when you read your scripture, it's all over the place, right? Paul's urging his people on. Don't give up. Keep on going. It may not look like it. But you in Christ have eternal hope, and the crown of glory is around the corner. If your financial security is suffering or maybe even crippled, is Christ worth loving and serving? If your physical health is failing you and severely damaged, is Jesus still worth adoring? If a family member is killed, is Jesus worth adoring and trusting? If we lose everything as Job did, is Christ still worth honoring? And is the crown of life still worth our perseverance and our faithfulness? The answer is yes. Always yes in Jesus Christ. And so think about the cross that Alexander's friend wrote in the dirt, because that's what it's screaming out. Yes. And so when I hear all these stories of Job and my friends John and Lorraine, and I go, my goodness, and I'm complaining about my supper, you know? Lord Jesus, give us a new spirit of trust, perseverance, because you are so lovely. Because you are so awesome. And you have given us everything that we need for a godly life. He has. You are not alone to do this journey. Persevere. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Lord, when we look at the examples of your people, we are inspired. I was so inspired by John and Lorraine's testimony, almost to the point of just feeling ashamed of my own complaints of life. Lord, give us this church courage to keep on going and trusting you. If it's about reconciliation between people, may we reconcile. If it's to love and forgive, may we do that. If it's to encourage and inspire, may we do that. If it's to be more devoted in our walk with you and our devotions with you and being a witness for you, may we do that. Lord, we acknowledge that we in our own flesh are weak and we so need you. We need your grace, your empowering grace. We need your Holy Spirit. Fill us each and every day. We pray these things in your mighty name. Amen.